Hello, it's Richard Herring here. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. And my stand-up tour is about to begin. Can I have my ball back? First stand-up tour in 6 years. Many of you just know me from the podcast. Don't know, I've done 14 or 15 stand-up tours in my own right. I'm a brilliant stand-up comedian, and can I have my ball back? I think it's my best show ever. That's what the audiences are saying. It's about testicular cancer, but it's funny because testicles are funny even though cancer isn't. I'm really pleased with it. I'd love you to come and see it. Bring your friends. Some of the shows selling really well, some of them selling really badly. It's a traditional Richard Herring tour. But here's where I'm going to be. 2nd of May, Thursday at the Luton Hat Factory. It's a small venue, but there are still tickets left. 3rd of May, I'm at the Bury Hedge End, which is near Southampton. That's looking more full, but still some availability. 8th of May, I'm at the Leicester Square Theatre. There's about 10 tickets left for that one, though I am back at the Leicester Square Theatre in June. And then I'm at St Albans on the 9th, Gloucester on the 10th, Chorley Little Theatre on the 11th. That's sold out, but you can join the waiting list. And then the 12th of May, I'm at Glasgow. Afternoon show sold out. Evening show, extra show, put on, still with tickets. And then there's lots more. Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs. And now, enjoy whatever podcast I've given you. It's free. It's all for you. If you want to pay me back, buy a book, come and see a show. That's all I've got to say to you. Love you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, Northampton. Welcome to the Royal. Please welcome a man whose son has attempted to emulate Captain Blood. It's Richard Herring. Thanks so much. You're much better than last week's audience. God, those guys. Those guys. Welcome to Richard Herring's Levelling Spratton Totally podcast. Going to take the whole place down, start from scratch. Don't think anyone will notice or care. But don't really know where Spratton is. When I wrote that, I thought, it'd be bad if there's been some terrible tragedy there recently. The audience goes, oh, how dare he. Seems it's all right. But I was on the Althorp estate the other day, and the ghost of Lady Diana said she called it relentless. How dare you boo Lady Diana? Someone hissed Lady the Man. How dare you? She was a candle in the wind, literally. It's a very respectful... There's no more respectful thing than being the person who says Rahalas to Paso. Thank you. I've been reading the Northampton Chronicle again this week, and a driver arrested after he was caught behind wheel, leaving court where he had just been disqualified. That's the big news in Northampton. You've got to admire chutzpah for that one. That's amazing. What I really liked about this story is the driver's first name was Euclid. Northampton, it's got a long history and people are still being named after Greek mathematicians. That's how ancient Greek mathematicians. My son, Captain Blood, you may know, attempted and successfully stole the crown jewels. We went to the Tower of London last Sunday and we saw the crown jewels. They're quite well guarded. But my son had found a jewel in his, like a plastic bit of toy jewellery in his bedroom, and he took it to school to do a show and tell about his visit to Pudding Lane in the Tower of London and told his classmates that he'd stolen it from the crown jewels. And
They believe that the A said it was a diamond. It was a purple thing, massive purple thing. It's a diamond. They'll go, wow, it's a real diamond. And he's stolen it from the crown jewels, which I like. But Ed Gamble pointed out that he was both collecting stones and committing a crime, and is. Which his mother does drunk women solving crime. He was probably drunk when he did it as well. So is the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, is all I will say. But look, we're going to crack straight on. We've got a brilliant guest for you this week. She is probably best known. So well known for this that I don't even have to look it up. She's probably best known for playing Nikki in I Live With Models. She was also a butch lesbian in an ad for a Jim Norton special. No idea what any of those words mean. Will you please welcome the incredible Abigailia Shaman, ladies and gentlemen. Abigail Shaman. I did it. More or less. Lovely to see you. How are you doing? You have...
Hello.
It's the most unshowbiz name, and I admire you for this.
Yeah.
Because it's difficult to... This is two difficult words to say.
Right. That's... I didn't plan ahead when it came to showbiz. It's funny, because all of my social media, everyone, is just my first name. It's nothing else. So it's just at Abigailia on abigailia.com. My email is... Abigailia. It's easy to find me if you can spell it. And that's the thing. I've had so many comedians be like, oh, I bet you get so many followers after shows because your name's so specific. And I'm like, no one fucking knows where to go with it. And like, I think it's easy. I think it's phonetic. Yeah. But everyone's like, nope, wouldn't have guessed that.
No, well, some people would choose to change it and call themselves Abby S or something like that.
Yeah, no, I did. My name's Abigail.
Right.
I went the other direction.
Okay.
So I'll explain this very briefly. And the reason why I want to do this briefly is because, one, I've explained it 1,000 times and no one fucking listens to the story. And two, I once did someone's podcast where for 30 of the minutes they tried to explain to me that I changed my own name for showbiz reasons, and I had to keep telling them no. It was my first... I've never been mansplained my own origin story before. Anyway, so Abigailia is a nickname I got. I did not make it up. This is where people get confused. It's a nickname I got at summer camp. I went to one of those summer camps they have in America where you like make dream catchers and talk about saving the earth. Like, before Greta Thunberg was doing it, I was in Colorado, freaking recycling, man. I was on top of it. And one of the camp counselors thought it would be fun to give everyone names. And she named me Abigailia. Mm-hmm. And I was 11. So I was like, I'll be taking that back to Ohio. Thank you. And then I made all of my teachers and all of my friends and everyone call me Abigailia. And now I turn 38 on Sunday or Saturday, so it's been my name for longer than it hasn't been my name now.
That's good. It's a beautiful name.
Thank you.
Don't change it to something more complicated.
No, I won't. Just put a random X in it, just for fun. But yeah,
oh, it's lovely. Look, tell us about playing Nikki in I Live With Models.
I got that shortly after moving to London Town. It was my first acting gig. I got when I moved here, and I think it's been my only one since. So I nailed it. So Nikki was a director. There was a short-lived Comedy Central sitcom called I Live With Models. Right. And believe it or not, I was not cast as a model. I was cast as a director of a commercial. And the whole thing was shot at Pinewood, but the whole story takes place in America. So the two leads, they flew over from America to shoot. I'm pretty sure I got the role because I have an authentic accent. I think that was the bar. And but I got to be at Pinewood Studios for a day, which was very exciting. And I played a director. And it was a sitcom, but, I mean, in the loosest sense of the word. I mean, you had to really think, like, was that funny? But all of my lines moved the story forward, so I knew I wouldn't be cut out of it.
That's good. Well, there was definitely a situation. The situation's even in the title, so it's at least a sit. So we can't deny it was a sit.
It was a sit.
So, yeah.
It was a sit.
There was a sit, and it was a great... Imagine I live. It's that sort of like Man About the House.
Yeah, it was about this guy who gets discovered. He's a barista, and he gets discovered while he's being a barista for having beautiful hands. So he becomes a hand model, and he lives with all of these women who are real body face models. So it's this average man living with these beautiful women. Oh, my gosh.
That's what happens, right? If you're a hand model, they go, well, you have to come and live with other models. That's just the way it is.
That is 100% how it works.
And what's this butch lesbian in it? I thought you'd know who he is. Who's Jim
but
Norton?
But I forget. Jim Norton's a comedian based in New York who's quite famous in American comedy. Okay. And so he had this comedy special come out called Offended, I think. And the whole commercial promo was someone being like, I'm a this, and I'm offended by Jim Norton. So I was a lesbian, and I was offended by Jim Norton. And, if you go back into his back catalog, he's been canceled several times. He lives up to the hype, but he's still going. He's in fact, a couple years ago, he came over to Britain, and I got to be his tour support.
Okay,
and I really like his comedy. Like he is offensive, but I think he's a funny guy. And I was so excited to meet him because years before I even became a comedian, I was in his commercial. And I shook his hand. I was like, I was in the Epix commercial with the other thing. And he was just like, yeah, cool. Like, just could not give a shit. I was like, and now look, we're both here in London. And now I'm a comedian. And you're, you know, playing Leicester Square Theater. I don't know if you've heard of it. But, he just did not care. I was like, oh, never. He's not. I wouldn't say never meet your heroes because he's not my hero, but never meet someone you mildly respect.
Well, I think that's interesting as well because there is, you know, you do get. It doesn't happen to everyone, and some people stay engaged all the time. But there's a level that people get to where they sort of become like, not, but a little bored of the process, or of all of that.
I mean, he's not like. Famous. No. He's about you famous.
Okay. But in America, that's quite big.
Which
though.
Is you quite... Know,
if you're this famous in a really massive place, there's more people.
There's nothing like being asked to be on a podcast, be so excited to be on it, because I'm a fan of your podcast. And then to see a tweet go out being like, anyone want to come to Northampton? Numbers are low. I'm like, thanks. Thanks, Richard. I kept him away. Private viewing.
I can only blame myself.
Like it's that thing though of his producers like basically assigned me to a show. He didn't pick me as an opener.
Right,
sometimes when comedians have tour supports, they bring on their mates. Sometimes someone gets hired in by like the producers, and so he didn't know who I was, and it was very much like. He was there to do a job, and I was there to do... But he had no interest in talking comedy with me.
No,
you know?
I think that's... some people, they don't get to that level, but of just feeling disenchanted with it all. But I think it's especially funny when you see someone puppishly excited come up against that.
Yeah.
You know, that stone wall of, I've done this too long. No longer interested in
doing it. This is one of those where I came off stage and he's like, sounded good. I'm like, oh, you didn't even watch it. Like, you don't even care anymore. But it was a lovely time. He was a perfectly nice person, just disinterested.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
And jet lagged, to be fair. He was very tired.
And something you told me about, which I don't know this story, so I'll be interested to find out. You claim you won a Grammy in high school.
Yeah. No big deal, guys. That is true, technically. So the Grammy Foundation passes out Grammys to schools in America for, like, excellence in their musical education program. And Greenville, Ohio, Greenville High School, where I went to school got one in 2001 when I entered the program. So, like, I'm the one who won it because they didn't get it before I started at the choral high school program as a choraleer. And so I definitely won it for them.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's very cool. They get you don't get like this Grammy statue though, which I thought would be cool. It, you know, as all schools do, it's in a glass case with all the sports awards, and it's a plaque, and it's got the plaque has a picture of the Grammy statue on it. But yeah, I come from a Grammy award winning.
You can put it on your poster for Edinburgh. That's all that matters.
I mean, every once in a while, like I told you, I hate my bio. That's on my website and what my agent sends out because they wrote it. And I don't care about anything that's on it. And at one point, we were having an argument about a credit that's on it. I say that in quotation marks because I don't think it's a credit. And she was like, well, we need something there. We have to put something there. And I was like, well, if we're going to go that far back, it's basically a new act competition that I was a finalist in. Right. The only one I ever entered before I moved to London. It's so long ago. I'm like, that's really sad to say you're a finalist when you're, that's your one credit. Like, and she, I was like, well, then let's mention the Grammy. If we're going to go back to like credits that don't make any sense or don't matter, let's talk about the fucking Grammy. But yeah, I have one.
I think we gigged together. It, correct me if I'm wrong about this, but we did a gig, and it was a charity gig about sex. I can't remember what it was, but
good question. I can't remember what it was.
I can't remember
either,
what the charity was.
But Love Honey was one of their sponsors.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
So as a thank you, we all got a bag full of sex toys. I thought it was great.
I mean, I was going to say, I'm an extremely vanilla person.
Okay.
I thought, I bet you enjoyed having
every
those sex toys.
Every single one of them. Yeah, no, they're nice. They're nice. I mean, I don't have those ones anymore. You have to upgrade over the years. I don't know.
Do they run out if you... get dirty?
But you also, like, you know, I have a partner. Yep. Me and my partner, we've been together now for 9 years. So, like, I'm not switching out my dicks. So I switch out...
Yeah, move
my drawer of dicks.
Okay.
Just to change it up a bit. You guys got very uncomfortable with that. I thought that was quite funny. And Northampton was like, oh, well. Now we know why the ticket sales were low.
I gave some of them away, and there was one...
You gave them away?
Yeah, but not with unused.
Yeah, of course.
There's one I held on to.
Which one?
But I still haven't used it, but I'm waiting for the moment. There was like a...
This was, by the way, at least 8 years ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. There's one I've still got, which is like a curly blue that it curls round.
Okay. By the way, I was told the bags for men and women were different, so I might not have had this.
I don't think you would have necessarily had this. Okay. I think it was insert into one's bottom area. Through the anal passage.
Okay, were they beads?
It was like a curly blue cock, but it was curled around like that, about that thick. It looked interesting. I thought one day I'll be.
Is anyone else picturing like a Porky Pig corkscrew that you just kind of like wind up in?
It's not quite that. It's just like I reckon you would say. I don't even know what to do with it.
I really wish you'd brought it.
Yeah, I should have brought it. I didn't think. I just remembered when I was on the way here, and then I could have given it to someone in the audience.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't been in my anus. I don't really. Sorry, mate. I don't really fancy that too much. But there's a part of me that fancies it enough that I held on to it.
There is a pleasure center up there for you. There is.
Well, that's what I thought. I know there is.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know
if you've never explored that.
I'm not prepared to go on the journey to find it.
I mean, I can talk you through it. Whatever you do, if you do it, lube. You have to use lube. Someone just went, yeah! Because it's a part of your body that doesn't self-lubricate.
Yeah.
And if
you don't know my anal canal.
You should see a doctor for that. If you use lube, it can be a very pleasurable thing. And take your time. Don't force anything up there.
I'll ring you up when it's up there and let you know.
Take a bath. Listen to some Enya. Just relax.
It's up there, Habaglia. Yeah. I'm not enjoying it. I'm not really enjoying it. look, I've watched. Oh, you've got three specials.
I do. Well, I have two secret? Out.
Yeah.
One actually. See, you told me this will probably come out in April.
Yeah.
So here's my goal: to either have this third one either fucking filmed or about to be filmed by April, because I wrote it. I did it in Edinburgh last year, 2022.
Right.
And I still haven't filmed it, but. So my partner Tom is a cinematographer, and we're talking about comedy specials. And there's so many ways to do them, but a lot of times Tom said, when people do comedy specials that aren't in big theaters, that are in like the Bill Murray, where I have done a comedy special, and you can buy it at abigailia.com if you can spell it. it just feels like, oh. This is supposed to be in a bigger room, but it's not for some reason.
Right.
So for this one, fingers crossed, this is why we haven't done it yet, we want to film it in a courtroom.
Okay.
We want to film it in a courtroom.
Yeah.
And I'll be like in the galley pretending, like, you know how the lawyer gives a closing statement?
I do,
like,
yeah. Well, I've seen like a preview version of, I guess,
you know the story.
But it's a surprising story in a lot of ways because
we can give away any spoilers
it's a great hour and it's a great Edinburgh show I'm sure because it's you've got a great story and even though it should be pretty apparent what the outcome is it's about whether you're allowed to stay in the country and you're doing it in the country so there's sort of a spoiler there.
Yeah.
But equally, everyone, when it's revealed that you are staying in the country, people are still surprised. It's
so interesting because I did it in Edinburgh and I thought, okay, maybe people in Edinburgh wouldn't know because you can fly over there's a visa exemption to do it in Edinburgh. Long story short, me and my partner applied for a partnership visa. It got denied. We had to go to court to argue against the Home Office. Even leading up to previews, like, people wept. It's the first time I ever wrote an Edinburgh show that people wept at. So I was like, oh, maybe this will be my year to win. I didn't. It's fine. I'm over it. But, people just were like, is she going to get to stay? And I'm like, I'm in Essex doing a preview. Like, it worked out. But it was a very scary time.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's about, the immigration to our country and the hoops you have to jump through and obviously the differences there would be as well if you weren't an American and you weren't a white American.
Yeah.
Perhaps, but I think also the stuff about you just going, having to go abroad every 3 months so that you could come back into the country so you could do this cheeky... Yeah. Well, as it's called legally cheeky.
Yeah.
So there's a legally cheeky way of going in and out of the country to come back in.
Yeah, again, spoiler alert, there used to be these 3-month work permits for actors and entertainers and comedians. And several of us who are American were on them for years. And all you had to do was leave the country and re-enter. And that's how we lived here. Was you just go to like Brussels for a day and then come back and now you're a resident again. And that's illegal now. They closed that loophole. I did that.
Well done.
I did that. Now that's, they still have the permit, but now you can't just renew it for 7 years.
It did seem a silly loophole, but well done for exploiting it. And,
no problem. And I'd like to thank Brexit for making them crack down on all immigration laws to get rid of that one. Everyone told me it wouldn't fucking touch me because I'm a white American woman. They're like, you won't have any problems living in the UK. And boy, howdy did I.
Yeah. Well, but it's, when you're in a relationship with someone who's... You're in a relationship with an English guy.
Yes.
And so it just seems insane that's not straight through there. I can understand they have to take precautions against people just pretending to be in a relationship and green carding it. It makes a good film, though. But lovely romantic comedy. But when you've, you know, you've clearly been, well, now for 9 years or whatever you said, but it's, you know, it was obviously a good period of time that you were together, so it wasn't a scam.
Yeah, no. And when we went to court, my lawyer, who is also a stand-up comedian, that is true. Her name is Sakisa, and she was like, I'll do this for free. And she was just going to help me with the paperwork. And then we had to go to court, so she fucking signed up for more than she meant to. But she was like, it was such a kangaroo court, because usually at immigration hearings, when they're questioning the validity of a partnership visa, which is what I have, they're questioning the validity of the partnership.
Yeah.
And usually they'll have one of the couple leave while the other one answers questions and vice versa. And they didn't do any of that for us. The judge just asked my lawyer, Sakisa, like loads of questions. Didn't question me, didn't question Tom. And she was like, that's unheard of. That it was clearly just like, we're going through the motions because they picked yours to deny.
Yeah.
So, but I won, so... Fuck them.
When you get married, you have to go in and do a little test as well to prove that you're really know each other.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you go into the county at the county hall, and I got my wife's birthday wrong, which is they only asked me like 3 questions. I got it the wrong date, and they said no. And went, but that proves that you're real.
Tom is really bad with dates too. Yeah. So before we went into court, I was like, you cannot fuck this up. You have to know my birthday, which is very easy. It's 11/11. But like he's not a numbers person, and I'm like, how long have we been together? When was our first date? When did you move in? Like I'm going through our entire catalog, quizzing him. Anyways,
the key is to get it wrong, because that's what real relationships
do. That's true.
So only someone who's studied would get their potential wife's birthday. Correct.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But you know, there's the other two that you can buy already.
Yeah,
are terrific. Namaste, bitches, and Namaste, bitches.
Namaste, bitches.
And do you know who I think I am?
Is that right?
Do you know who I think I am?
Yeah.
So you were through this, I learned that you were kind of started off in musical theatre, really?
Yeah, that's what I went to school for.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, I won a Grammy.
I do know that, yeah.
High school, that's how good I was. I don't really sing anymore. I've developed vocal nodules from whiskey and shouting. And so I don't have, like, the upper range I used to, and I also have no reason to sing. There's no longer a song in my heart. So a lot of people ask me if I still sing and not in a professional capacity.
No, but that's an interesting way to go, and it's sort of, does it affect your stand-up, these nodules, is it kind of...
I lose my voice very quickly.
Yeah.
I lose... That happens a lot faster for me than other people. And again, I went to school for theater, so it's not like I don't have a back catalog of exercises and things to make myself better, but I rather just walk on and fuck the microphone. Like, that's how I like to do it. But I mean, as far as it affecting my the vocal nodules affecting my stand-up, I lose my voice quickly. Yeah. And I sound like this now. A lot of times people are like, I love your husky voice. And I'm like, for a long time, I was like, oh, I just sound like this because I just got done with a festival. And now I realize this is how I sound all the time. So my voice is deeper than it used to be.
Can you have an operation? People have had operations that
you can. I went to a doctor to talk about it once, and then I didn't go back. You can. Mine at the time were quite small. So they could have done it. But it's not causing me any, like, long-term problems right now. Basically, vocal nodules, for those of you who don't know what it is your vocal cords are like two little cords in your throat that just kind of vibrate back and forth. And it's like having a callus on them, on one of them. And so when you speak, the vibration, more air gets through the vocal cord passage, and it can cause huskiness and it's harder to create certain sounds.
Yeah. I mean, you know, your voice is your instrument, regardless of whether you're a musician. But I guess what, there's loads of interesting things from the stand-up, but I think, you know, I wonder whether how different things are coming from America and the stand-up scene in America, because you're so confident and sure of yourself on stage, which I think is brilliant.
Yeah.
But it's kind of not a very British... I know it's not a very British thing, is it, to have that confidence, but that therefore makes it very exciting and attractive, I think. But
thank you. I think, like, in the age of social media, it's maybe not to have a confident demeanor on stage, but I remember when I first came over to do the Edinburgh Fringe, again, this is when I still lived in New York, I put on... whichever social media was the one that was happening at the time, something like, just crush my show, man, yeah. And a friend of mine, Andrew O'Neill, they pulled me aside and was like, hey, we don't really do that. Like, and I was like, what do you mean? It's like, they were like, you can't just talk about how great you are. Like, people are going to make fun of you if you do that. And now I see it all the time on social media and stuff. So I think with like Netflix and people being able to see more comedy from different parts of the world, certain styles are crossing over. But I mean, I don't know if every American stand-up comedian presents as confidently as I do as a stage persona. Like Mike Birbiglia, who you interviewed, Mike Birbiglia bounds on stage with confidence and, like, you know, like Tig Notaro has a presence.
Yeah.
Has a beautiful presence on stage, but I don't think it's that, like one would say, like, this, like, confidence, like, look at me sort of thing.
No, but I think it's... You know, more people should be like it, you know, and especially probably British people. But it is that confidence in yourself and the belief in yourself. And
have it?
I don't have it.
How old are you?
I'm very old.
How long have you been doing this for?
35 years.
Okay, so I was 3 when you started comedy, and you still don't believe in yourself?
I'm not.
Get your fucking shit together, man. If you believed in yourself, this would have sold out. By the way...
No one can do it in Northampton. No one can. It's impossible.
I mean, there's something, though, too, that and this is a real bugbear of mine. And no offense.
Really. No, I'm none taken.
But when I hear someone be like, oh, you're so confident when you're on stage. Another performer, another stand-up comedian performer is like, oh, I can't. It's always a white man. And no offense, some of my best friends are white men.
I'm not confident enough to be offended. It's fine.
Yeah. But they're always like, oh, you know, I just couldn't do that because, you know, I'm just a white middle-class man and who cares what I have to say, so I'm not confident at all. I'm like, well, then get the fuck off the stage. Like, people have paid tickets to see a show which you are performing on, and if you don't think you have anything of value or worth or joy or whatever you're trying to give to a room, then get the fuck out of my way. Like, no, I'm, listen, I am not famous. And do you know how mad I am about how many people are like, oh, you know, I just accidentally do a comedy. I'm like, go fuck yourself. You're as confident as I am. You just pretend you're not.
But I don't know. It's also about the, you know, it's very hard to say it in, like, in a way that isn't stupid. But it's being, you know, happy in yourself and confident in yourself. And it's kind of, you've got a real fuck you, this is who I am.
Yeah.
And I don't give a fuck what you think about that, which is what everyone should have. Like, it's, everyone right. should have that.
I will but, say that is a facade. I hate myself. I don't know. I don't think about it that much. I do, like, I don't think I'm going out on stage with, like, this, like, you'll fucking take it or leave it, guys. But there is a very much, like, this is me, and these are my stories, so this is what you get. And I'm not going to apologize for it.
No.
I'm going to give people the best show I can give. And then as far as, like, the exuding confidence, it, you know, for those listening on the podcast, I've dyed my hair blue. I have sparkly shoes, and that's just enough to distract people. Like, that's what people think confidence is, but that's really just what I've done instead of getting a personality.
Well, like, I don't think that's true. But equally, I think society's become to this sort of and it's happened in the last 20 or 30 years, it's sort of a weird place where people expect people to look in a certain way, and if they don't look in that certain way, that they should hide away or be ashamed or whatever. Yeah. And that's, you know, and that's...
Why do you think you and people I both, think I should
you,
hide away?
You and I both look like normal people.
Thank you.
I'm short Thank and you. Fat and, you know...
And I'm average height but also fat is what he's trying not to say. But it's
But
okay.
you're not, you know, so you don't conform to that stereotype.
Yeah, no, I know what
and
you
so,
mean.
And so therefore to see somebody on stage and saying, this is what I am
yeah.
And be glamorous and be, you know, and be confident is a very important thing, is all I'm really saying.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that compliment. And maybe one day you too can be confident and unapologetically yourself.
Okay, I'll
think
try.
In another 33 years.
Going to come on and go, this is who I am.
Is it? No. Yeah.
And if you don't like it.
Get out. But I don't feel like, I don't know, maybe I am that combative on stage, but I don't. I'm unapologetic, but I don't think I'm like, you fucking take it. Like, you know, I don't know.
I just, you know, I think more people, like, not just on stage, but in life, that should be it. Because, you know, we all are whoever we are.
Yeah.
And there's a few things you can do.
Yeah.
You know, as you say, you can dye your hair, you can, you know,
yeah.
I'm on a diet at the moment, I can lose some weight.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, you know, that is peripheral stuff. It doesn't matter about what's inside you. And so you can only do a certain amount, and the real thing to do is to go, hey, none of that shit matters. It doesn't matter, and we're human beings, and this is what human beings are like, the vast array of humanity.
Everyone should have permission to unapologetically take up space in their own lives.
Yeah.
And, I think that's important. I agree.
Yeah, good.
Good. We've solved that problem.
We've sorted
on to the next.
It's all good. But I also, I like the fact that you talk, again, it's talking about, you talk very openly about your private life, about your partner as well.
Oh, God, Tom has been through it. I talk a lot about Tom. Any questions?
Presumably he's okay with that.
Yeah.
And it seems like there's a couple of jokes where you go, he wrote that joke and you're furious that it gets a big
laugh. Yeah. So sometimes he helps me. He'll come with me with notes about my comedy. And listen, I don't think he's going to listen. So I'll tell you guys, I think he's actually got some good ideas. But we call it the jokes folder, which is a pretend little filing cabinet I have that's actually a trash can where I put all... You won't know about this, but so when Tom and I started dating, he kept telling me how easy comedy would be. And he doesn't remember me saying this, but I did. I said, well, fine, I'm going to get you on a show, and you're going to do comedy. Okay. So Tom Tuck is a friend of ours who did a show in Edinburgh called Tomfoolery, where the name of the game was you had to be Tom to get on the bill. And so when my boyfriend Tom came to visit, I booked him onto Tom Tuck's show. It's a free friend show. And Tom, my boyfriend, took it so fucking seriously. He was like writing jokes. He was calling me. He was reciting them. And I didn't want him to get like booed or anything. But you know what it's like when you just have an audience politely go, good try. Like, that's what I wanted him to experience. And then, you know, it was 5 minutes. And I thought this would be so funny to book him on the show where he'd bomb. And he's reciting that now we're in Edinburgh and he's reciting his jokes to me in the flat. And I'm like, what have I done? I'm the worst girlfriend. And then we walk down to the show and we're running into all of our comedy friends. And they're just looking at me like, Abigail, what the fuck are you doing to this man? You're like leading him to the gallows. Like, why have you booked this nice man who loves you on a show to show him a lesson? And our friends came to watch Tom do... Did they come to my fucking show? No. But they came to see Tom do stand-up, and he got on stage, and he fucking killed. He did so good. It was so frustrating. He got 3 applause breaks in a 5-minute set.
Okay.
And he had that thing of, you know, when you walk off stage, especially, like, you got the high adrenaline first time, so he's just like... He gets off and he's like, oh, like just like can't focus. He's like, I was like, it was amazing, Tom. You got 3 applause breaks. And he looks at me and goes, only 3? Hasn't done comedy since. Hasn't done it since.
Go out on a high. That's what you do. Do it once, 100%.
But I will say his way of getting back at me was he wrote a joke about how your girlfriend, me, is a stand-up comedian and writes all these jokes about how crazy and amazing your sex life is and how you're swinging from the chandeliers and it's naughty and it's dirty and it's sexy and it's... And then Steve Bennett gives your sex life a 3-star review. That was... I got a snort. I'll let Tom know. But yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, he's never done comedy and he's probably never had sex, so... he's allowed to give reviews. Sorry, Steve, I know you've had sex on your own. It's fun.
Very nice man.
Don't listen.
With the blog.
And I didn't know... You were a yoga teacher.
Yeah, I was.
I didn't realise... I mean, maybe I should have realised this, because when you were talking about it, I suddenly realised that I probably had heard this. But I didn't realise Bikram was a person.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a person.
Bikram Rug, I just thought it was a stupid name for hot yoga.
No, his name's Bikram Chowdhury, and I have met him.
Yeah.
And no, he didn't to me. But for those of you who don't know, there was a Netflix documentary that came out that was spurred from a Vanity Fair article that came out years before. So by the time the Netflix documentary came out, the whole Bikram community knew about this and dealt with this, and we had moved on, and then... Netflix documentary came out and we had to deal with it again. Mostly people who don't do yoga asking us about Bikram. But he was, what is the word? It's not charged, but there were civil cases against him for sexual assault, of him assaulting his female students, which I believe he did. So he was my guru, and I used to teach his yoga, so boy, do I know how to pick him.
It's another fascinating, and there could, I mean, it sort of is a large part of that show, but it's...
Yeah.
But it's an interesting to have gone through.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked my yoga teaching experience. I started practicing right when I moved to New York when I was 18. I was going to acting school, and I was so addicted to hot yoga. I would take yoga before school. So I'd take like 6 a.m. classes and then go to dance class all day. I was in great shape. And hated my body, though. Didn't know any better. Now I'm fatter than I've ever been. I fucking am enjoying it. And yeah, I loved it. I met so many great people as a yoga teacher, both other yoga teachers and students. It was a really great time in my life and a very formative time in my life because I did it all through my 20s. And now I don't really teach anymore. And it's one of those things I'm really glad I did.
Yeah.
What sucks is the figurehead of that specific yoga was a bad man. Yeah. And because he was such a bad person, it affected everyone else underneath him that didn't have anything to do with him. And it was weird because, like, you know, all of a sudden, Bikram Yoga Studios aren't calling themselves Bikram Yoga Studios, and everyone's starting to teach a different series, which I think is totally cool and right on, and like live your own journey and do your own yoga. But we were all kind of like, oh, you're like if you go anywhere in the world, you're a comedian, I'm a comedian, and there's this bond. We kind of had that as Bikram Yoga teachers, and now that's gone. That's fractured.
Yeah, it is. You know, and like the fact that it is named after him, as you say, just. Yeah. If it was just called anything else, it wouldn't matter.
Exactly.
If it was just called very hot yoga.
Yeah.
A stupid place to do yoga.
Yeah.
If it was just called that.
Yeah. Then a very smelly room to do yoga in. Yeah.
One of my it was funny, I was going to mention this ex-girlfriend because she, towards the end of our relationship, she was a journalist, but she suddenly started doing stand-up open spots.
Oh, really?
And I was obviously an established comedian, and I just had to go to loads of comedy clubs to
see
her.
Were you her plus one at a bringer?
I would go and see her, and I would go, but then it was just like a really awkward experience, and it felt like she was going, you know, I could do this. Anyone could do this. And she gave it up pretty quickly.
Good for her.
But it was one of the things that made me think, yeah, I don't know if I want to.
I think confidence, like we said, is very important in people. I think it's very important in all of you who came to the show. I, however, don't think we need any more comedians.
We do not need any more.
We are no, Richard and I have discussed it. We are no longer hiring.
It's full. She did Bikram yoga as well, so there you go. So maybe there's something in that combination.
Yeah.
that's dangerous. Let me ask you some merch questions before... I'm going to ask you a would-you-rather question before we've got a little bit of time.
Yeah, we're doing great.
Yeah, we've got a little bit of time.
We'll be fine.
We'll be fine. I'm going to go random in these. We'll see what happens. Would you rather, you know, just you get what you get. Yeah. Would you rather go tenpin bowling or be the Prime Minister of the Central African Republic? And there is a stipulation. NB, if you were Prime Minister of the Central African Republic, you would be banned from playing tenpin bowling. Also, if you choose bowling, then you're agreeing you'll never be permitted to be the Prime Minister of the Central African Republic.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know a lot about African politics.
No.
So I feel like this is an easy
might be
one.
Fun. Might be fun for you to just launch yourself into the quite troubled area of the Central African Republic.
I feel like if I've learned from any American presidents in my recent past, if you just give it a go.
Yeah.
You know, you can say anything and fine. You know, you can even be voted out and run again.
Yeah.
From jail.
Yeah. That is incredible. It's a wonderful country.
Yeah, it's great. I think the responsible side of me says, obviously, I'd rather go 10-pin bowling. Okay. But the irresponsible part of me is like, yeah, this is what they need, a white woman to run Africa. Which country is it in Africa?
Central African Republic.
Republic, yeah.
It's a good pointless answer. Yeah. Nearly everything.
I was on pointless.
Were you?
I was on Celebrity Pointless, but they haven't aired my my episode yet, which we filmed over a year ago.
Yeah, it takes a long time.
Yeah, I mean, you said this will be out in April. This is freaking quick.
It's quick.
Because I have been waiting to talk about Celebrity Pointless, and I can't talk about it yet.
Yeah, I had the same thing. I've done it four times.
Well,
but then I lost the first three times. I got one stage further every time, but the fourth one... I was with Les Dennis, lovely Les Dennis, and we won and we got the jackpot. But then it didn't go out. It was over. We did it just before COVID. It was right at the end of 2019, maybe the start of 2020. And then it didn't go out for like maybe 2 years. And so I wasn't able to tell people.
I was talking to a showrunner, and they do what you're doing, which is they just bank so many. Yeah, yeah. They'll just film a bazillion and then slowly release them.
It's incredible, though, isn't it, to think that the channel has such confidence in that show that they can say, we've got enough for 2 years.
Yeah.
It's going to be on for 2 years. No one's going to come in and take this shit off. No.
No.
It's a great show, by the way.
It's fabulous.
I'd speak as someone with a pointless celebrity trophy, which you may have, but you can't talk about it, so I still win.
I was only on the show once, though, so you never know.
It's very bad. Right, we'll do one more. You might not understand that one. Okay, I'm going to go for this. This is a child-friendly book, by the way, this Would You Rather. The one my editor insisted that everything had to be family-friendly. One question I put in was, we might find it, but would you rather be lost at sea or sucked off by a tornado?
I know that one with that question.
And she said, I think accidentally you could read that in a different way.
If we're supposed to... I've been cursing this whole time. Is that a problem?
No, we're allowed to swear in this, but just in this book. Make this book. Would you rather have an extra thumb on each hand? I saw someone who invented a thing where they could put thumbs on, an extra thumb on both hands. Mm-hmm. Think about it. So it's on the other side of your hand. It'd be there and there.
So it'd be on the pinky side.
So you can come in either side and you can grip things on your thumb.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good.
It's great for text.
Or be able to shoot poo out of your bum like a cannon. It's a good book. Child friendly. I mean, maybe you can do that. I'm presupposing you can't do that.
I mean, the thing is if I'm Prime Minister of the Central Republic of Africa,
yeah.
I might need to safeguard myself and my country.
Yeah.
So therefore, as a person who cares about their citizens, I have to be able to shoot bum out. I have to be able to shoot poop out of my bum like a cannon.
I mean, it would be good.
I think it will help.
Okay. But imagine being able to do that.
I can do that now with both hands. An extra thumb would be useful. I think.
I can't think now. When I wrote this, I knew what was good about having an extra thumb. I can't really think what would be that good about it.
I mean, texting, right? And picking up stuff. And, you could hold bigger things.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I like the hands I got.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, the answer is sun cream. Yeah.
Good.
Can you shoot poo out of your bum at will, or is it just like...
whatever happens. Because, actually, if you just go to the toilet and it always shoots out like a cannon, you're going to get through a lot of toilets.
Yeah.
So we haven't thought about that. Though equally, I suppose, if you could do it, you would just stick your ass out of a window and let
it go.
Yeah.
Let it go.
And then just whoever it lands on. They're not that accurate, I don't think, cannons, are they? So it would go in a general direction.
No, but I would practice. I would get good at it.
Yeah, it'd be a nice thing. It might be a fun thing to be hit by a turd.
No, it wouldn't. It would be disgusting. It'd ruin anyone's day.
Maybe. It might.
You have children. You've been shat on before.
I have.
Did you ever think, yay? Bit of fun.
Yeah, it'd been a cannon. They wee like a cannon, the boys.
Because
that's quite good fun. You'd lose that ability, though, as you get older.
That's good
I'm just
to know.
Looking at the young lad. I don't know why I'm looking at you. You lose that. If a grown man can't talk to a 13-year-old boy about the... how rapid his urine is, we're living in a sick world. If I can't just innocently ask about that in Northampton. Look, there's what else did I want to talk about? I have to say, they do go to A-B-I-L-O-G-I-A-H.
No, you did that wrong.
I didn't.
Oh, wait, did you say G?
No, A-B-I-L-O-G-I-A-H. Abigailiah.
Yeah, but the way you're doing it makes it sound weird. A-B-I-G-O-L.
Abigailiah. Oh, yeah, I did do it wrong.
Okay,
Abigailiah I had. Yeah. Fuck, it's difficult.
Yeah.
Well, I was so worried about pronouncing it that I didn't write it down properly.
Your penmanship is awful. No, Abigailiah, A-B-I-G-O-L-I-A-H. You can follow me on any social media. Instagram would be best right now because my agent's like, get to 10,000 followers. So if everyone in this room could follow me, I'll be 3,000 off. Also, I have a podcast.
Yeah, I was just about to bring it. So
that I do with my buddy Joe Wells, amazing comedian. You'd love him. You should have him on the show. Have you met Joe?
I haven't.
Oh, you'd love him. Very smart. He's the guy who brings the intelligence to our podcast. You'd like him. It'd be a much better interview than this. it's called Neurodivergent Moments, and I have ADHD. Joe is autistic, and we talk to other neurodivergent people about their brains being different, our brains being different. So we've had on, like, Angela Barnes. We just did one with Shappy Corsandi, Harriet Dyer, which you've listened to that one. Rufus Hound, Andrew O'Neill, just tons of
people.
I'm
the only comedian who can't go on that.
Because you don't have...
Yeah, I'm absolutely bang straight down there.
Yeah, no,
right down the middle, completely.
That's what... Those socks are screaming neurotypical. When I look at you, I think there is a man who everything in his life is organized and nothing takes effort for him.
Well, you have a rich... cast of potential guests, I think, for that show, but as increasingly.
What's fun is when I email someone, because I'm in charge of booking, so sometimes I'll email someone asking them to be on the podcast, and they'll tell me they're not. And I'm like, you might want to get that checked out, because I'm pretty sure you are.
Yes, well, you know, it's great that all of our minds and brains work in different ways.
Yeah,
and it's fun. I think it is what makes a lot of comedians who they are.
Yeah.
And so it is, you know, it is an important thing. And a lot of scientists who they are and whatever in different ways, isn't it? It's the wonder of human variety once again.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Then you can end up just in the middle, just, I mean, obviously very human, sexually attractive, but apart from...
I totally lost your train of thought
me too.
There.
It's like, you know, it's late at night. And,
it's 20 minutes till 10 p.m. So late.
Very late for an old man with two young children. Never do it. Never have your children if you're going to have them. Have them.
I'm never going to have them.
You never that say decision, never.
Nope. I turned 38 on Saturday, so I think I have maybe 3 more days before my eggs dry up, and I'm just like, fucking yes, yes, yes.
Don't do it if you don't want to do it.
I don't want to do it.
That's definitely...
I don't want to do it. My partner doesn't want to do it. We've discussed it. But every once in a while, someone will be like, you might change your mind. And I'm like, I don't think so at this point.
Well, look, thank you so much for going on the podcast. Good luck. Do go and listen to Abigailiah's podcast as well. Please get up the amazing Abigailiah Shalman. I've got it the wrong way around. I've got it the wrong way around in my head.
You did good.
Thank you. You have been listening to Rahulastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Abigailiah Shalman. The music is by Scant Regard. Thank you. I'm indebted to my friend, Chris Evans, not that one, to his son, Ben Evans, not that one, to all his many children. They're too numerous to mention. It would take an hour or two to get through them all. Thank you also to Beck Cliff and George Lingford and everyone at the Royal in Northampton. This is Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening. Do come and see me on tour. richardherring.com/gigs is the easiest way to find out where I'm going. And gofasterstripe.com, you can buy books and downloads. And just tell your friends about the podcast. If you can't make it to the tour show, if you don't want to buy any products, then every time you listen to an advert, you're helping us make more podcasts with a very, very tiny micro payment. So thank you very much for that. I love you all. It's lovely to meet you on tour, by the way. Hello to everyone who said hello so far. I do come and say hello after the show if you enjoyed it, if you want to see me. That'd be nice. You can get a selfie. I don't care. I'm a selfie whore. All right, see you soon.